This is Pearls and Swine. I'm Levi. Across from me sits Travis, and to my right is John. And today we're going to be talking about one of God's great creations. It's called the family. And what role did it play in creation? What role does it play in creation? And why are we all connected at some level to family? One of the things I think that Hollywood plays up and we see are families on TV. Maybe you have an idealistic family that you saw growing up, or maybe on television, or maybe you read in the book. What family was really idealistic to you in that you're like, man, I'd like to be a part of that family?
I look at the Griswolds, especially in Christmas Vacation. I know they're not the ideal family, but Clark has this idealistic view of how he wants Christmas to be. A good family, old-fashioned Christmas. Invite grandmas and grandpas, aunts and uncles, everybody there. And part of my heart would really have the desire to do that. But real life is kind of like the Griswolds, and I recognize that wouldn't be working out as fantastically as I hoped.
One of my favorites, I feel like it's going kind of old school. It feels old school a little bit to me, but the family from Little House on the Prairie. Reading the books as a kid, always enjoyed it. Enjoyed the show. What's the actor?
Charles?
Yeah, but what's the actor
who plays Michael
Landon?
Michael Landon. Yeah, great. He's great, right? But yeah, the Ingalls family is one that I always, from early on, was one that I found myself thinking, oh, it'd be great to be a part of a family like that, you know, where they, it kind of seemed like they were, especially because of their circumstances, they're all working together on something. They're kind of working to have the life that they want to have, and everyone's got a role, and there's hard things that they go through, and you get to see them and how they handle those hardships and things like that. And I don't think they're perfect as you watch them, but they're pretty good, and there's just a lot to.
What about the Olsen family? Would you like that?
The Olsen family.
They own the
the shop.
Oh, in
Mercantile.
Yeah.
You would have Nellie and Willie as your children.
Yeah.
And Ormiel.
And your wife would be Harriet.
You went beyond the Ingalls and I got lost. But yeah, I remember now. Yeah.
There's one point in that show where there's some type of situation.
Yeah.
And the Ingalls all come together and rally and make it out. And Nels comes out and says, you know, you might not have much money, but you have more than anybody else in Walnut Grove because of your family. Pa always knows the right words to say at the right time. There's this respect for him. And yeah, that's a really good one. I like the Cleavers too. I thought those were really good. Or the Waltons.
Yeah. I was thinking about the Waltons too. It was good.
Yeah. You know, the Waltons. And then you have the aunts who are making the recipe down the way, you know, when they get the cough medicine and all that stuff. But the Waltons are always rooting for each other, the kids are, that they're going to be successful. John Boy and,
yeah,
you know.
Oh, yeah.
You guys had way better upbringings than me with the Griswolds, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was it the opening or the closing of that movie where they were, goodnight, everybody, you know, they're all saying goodnight to each other.
Goodnight, John Boy.
Goodnight, John Boy. Yeah. I just, it's, that one makes me laugh because it's like, come on.
Yeah. All of us have a picture of what family is supposed to be like and how it's supposed to operate. The depictions that we've described of family is what made those shows popular, even the Griswolds, because I think there is a realistic view at some level.
But there's still that desire of perfect family, right?
Right. Well, yeah, that's what Facebook
pictures
are for.
I'm trying to redeem myself here.
Yeah. I grew up in a good family, not an idealistic family, but a good one. And you know, I thought, how hard can this be? Raising kids now, it's actually really difficult. I'm not a Charles Ingalls or a Mike Brady or I don't know what the Walton's dad was named, Pa.
Mr. Walton.
Mr. Walton.
But all families have struggles. Every family at some level has brokenness in it. Every parent and every child comes into this world broken. The Bible tells us that we're conceived in brokenness, in sin. Some of you may be listening and you think about your families with broken hearts and broken relationship, broken memories or broken words and broken promises or broken fellowships. But when you enter into the family of God, that stuff goes away. Not in your nuclear family, but in the family of God. And God created the family for a purpose. And even though it's broken, it's still one of the greatest things that God has given us. The Bible talks about families and shows at the beginning of creation that Adam, he's like running around, and we don't actually know how long he was running around, but he's naming animals. He looks at all the animals and they have a family. There's a there's a mama hippo and a daddy hippo and maybe a baby hippo. And he says, oh, hippo. And he looks at all the creation and he goes, wait a second, I don't got anybody. Because none of them were suitable. And God put him to sleep, took a rib out of him. And that day that he had that family, he was pretty excited. It says that he proclaimed, it's woman. He was excited to have somebody to share life with.
You have Adam and Eve then at that point, and they have kids. And as you look at family, like part of that is the experience of doing things together. There's experiences throughout that first family after the Garden of Eden, and some of them are not so good. Some of them I'm sure were good, but those experiences mold and shape who you are. Especially, I think, you know, growing up in the family that I grew up, the experiences that I had molded and shaped me into the person that I am today. And we carry those things with us, some of the traditions, some of the values instilled.
We also carry some of the brokenness. If you look at the scripture, Abraham is the father of the people of Israel, the Israelites, and he is this father of this nation, and he has a problem with lying. He lies about his wife at one point, and then it passes down to his grandson. I think Jacob's his grandson, if I'm not mistaken. And then it goes even farther. Abraham's great-great-grandson, David, had such a broken family that his son, Ammon, tries to do unspeakable things to his own sister. And this broken pattern continued through generation after generation. Families continued down a broken spiral through prostitution and lying and cheating. But after 76 generations of broken families, something amazing happens. Jesus Christ is born. God's Son was born through these dysfunctional families. He was conceived of the Holy Spirit, and we know that part, but he was still a part of this genealogy of brokenness, and he comes in as the perfect one, the one to fix all family problems and all of their brokenness, and we're born again into him, as the scripture says, which is a weird concept if we're honest about it, to be reborn, but you're born into the family of God. God is always faithful. He's the perfect papa. He always knows the right thing to say. He always there to comfort. He's always there to fulfill the promises that he's made.
There is benefits that come with being a part of a family, especially being a part of a good family. When I was in high school and started driving, my dad was part of a group that would help out directing traffic for the police. If there was parades in our town or anything like that, him and his buddies who were all these radio operators. You know, they had lights on their trucks and they had all the flashlights and vests and all that to direct traffic. So they would help out. And so my dad knew just about all the police officers in town. And I remember when I started driving, I got pulled over once when I was a kid. And I definitely was not the type of person to, okay, I'm going to try to get out of this. I thought, okay, I deserve this. I don't know, I'm speeding or something. But I remember I got pulled over and I handed the police officer my driver's license. And he said, wait, are you Randy's kid? That's my dad. And I said, yep. And he said, all right, well, I'm going to let him know about this, but you just go on. You just drive more carefully.
Did he walkie-talkie him?
Oh, I don't know.
Randy, we got a little bit of an issue here.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? There was some benefit that came with my association as a part of my dad's family. And I think when you talk about being a part of God's family, the benefits are exponentially more significant than that, what we're invited into and what becomes gifted to us in a way.
We have four boys at our house, and things are always getting broken. And I bought stock in super glue because I don't always know how to fix it, but super glue does. And I think that's really what Jesus is. He's the super glue of the family. He takes the brokenness of generations and restores them. He brings us out of that brokenness into wholeness, and even how we speak to each other, how we're connected to each other. Even if there's this past that has been really dark, there's something about how he comes in and starts to change and starts to move and starts to fix those things that are broken. And I really see him kind of as the super glue of the family.
That's a really good image for this. You know, when I think about the brokenness in our families and what happens when we invite God into those relationships, one of the privileges of being a pastor and getting to hear people's story of how they met Jesus and what their life was like afterwards, I can think of so many examples of families that were really broken, like all of our families are, where there was a hard right turn that happens in their family because of that restoration and because of that super glue, so to speak, of Jesus coming in and changing the trajectory. We have a men's ministry here that meets every Thursday morning for breakfast, and we talk about what it looks like to be an authentic man, the way that God designed us to be. And we often talk about the hurts and the hangups and things like that that we inherit. And we also talk about this restoring and this fixing that Jesus is able to do of those hurts, where he's able to help us stop repeating the over and over kind of things that we do in our families, where we pass down difficulty after difficulty. Jesus has this ability to come in and put a stop to it.
One of the things in Hebrew tradition was to put the Shema, I think it's what it is, above the doorpost. And so whether you're leaving or you're going, that your house is filled with the word of the Lord. I think that's a really important part of the super glue, is that your house is filled with the word of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture is breathed out by God, is given to us by God, inspired by God, and it's profitable for teaching. What are you doing in a family? You're teaching. It's good for reproof and for correction and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely equipped for every good work. And every parent wants their kid to do good works. They want them to be raised up, not just to be civil. They want them to do good things with the life that God has given them. And one of the ways that we do that is to help them to understand the word of God.
One of the things about family that just strikes me of how God created it, instituted it, is that all humanity is created in his image. And I think when my kids were born, we were holding our first, and we're starting to pick out attributes of like, oh, when a lot of people say this to you when you got a newborn too, like, oh, doesn't she have her mother's eyes or her daddy's big schnoz or stuff like that? But like, there is that connection in the physical appearance to the family. And I think that's part of the beautiful construct of God creating family. Like, we come from the descendants of Adam and Eve through Noah and all that stuff. But there are attributes about people that reflect God. Sometimes we minimize the value of people and human life in our culture and in our society and our country and all that stuff. But like, there is value in human life because we're created in God's image. We're created to be part of his family. His desire is that no one would perish and that all would come to him. And so I think that puts a whole lot more emphasis and value on who we are. We're all looking for purpose at some point in our lives. We come to that crossroads. We're like, why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? And God created us for a purpose, to be part of that family. And he offers that free gift to all who would accept his son, Jesus.
Yeah. One of the things that I think that God did through the family is to instill the parents with the ability to have authority. I don't think I liked that when I was a kid, when I was 15, 16.
Did you get children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right? Did you get that thrown at you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Or the other one my mom used to say is the truth one. What's the truth? The truth shall set you free.
Yeah.
And everyone knew that you're going to get whacked if you really, so, right? The idea, though, I think through the family was to be trained up in a way that the kids would know who God is. We know that if dads are connected to churches, if dads are in the Word of God, it totally changes the projection of life. It's good for mom to be a part of it, but when dads are, the whole family really becomes connected. I think some of the statistics are in the 87th percentile when dads are connected and are working toward that. And that, I think, was the hope of God through the family, is that we would know who he is and that we would walk in his ways. In Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 6 is the Shema. And it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts." And I think that's something that families pass down or don't pass down. Mm-hmm. They pass down the restoration project, or they don't pass it down.
And God sends this through his son, Jesus. So I think part of the leadership of dad in the home is to train up your kid, especially. I think it's super important for us as our sons to be able to pass down a godly heritage to them. And God did that to Jesus, especially I think of the passage in Matthew 17 with the transfiguration, and Jesus is transfigured in front of a few of his disciples, James, John, Peter, I think, are there. And he says, "This is my son whom I love, with him I am well pleased. Listen to him." So God's passed down Shema. There we go. God's got that and his door, and he's saying, "Jesus, this is how we're living. This is how we're doing it." And now he's calling the people that are part of Jesus' earthly family, his brothers and his sisters. I put family in quotes because they're not blood relatives, but they're part of the family of God. And he's calling him, like, listen to this guy. And I think all of us want, and we want to train up men within the church to pass those things along, instill them in our kids so that they may have that life to the full that Jesus promises us once we're part of the family of God.
Yeah, I think what's interesting also in the family of God is that he's made room for different families' expressions.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel is for all nations. It's for all people. And I'm glad to be a part of God's family. But my brothers and sisters from different parts of the world, or even different parts of our local community, have different expressions of how that looks. If you go into a Roman Catholic church, you're kind of in awe of who God is. That's part of their family values, is to be in awe of who God is. When I lived in Minneapolis, I'd often go to the St. Paul Cathedral and just walk in there and have some time of prayer. It produced this sense of awe in you through what they were doing. The Methodists are known for their educational endeavors. The Lutherans are known for their potlucks. I'm just kidding. But they're known for the Protestant Reformation, really. And believing in faith and faith alone is what brings us into the family. The Presbyterians and the Baptists are known for their devotion to Scripture. Not every dot and tittle of theology is agreed upon in the family, but as long as those churches believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says they are saved and they're a part of the family and they're our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so God has a big, big family. I invite all of you listening, and I invite you to the family. I invite you to the family party.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come out to one of our local churches here at Evangel. We meet at 9:30 and 11. We'd love to have you just come and worship. Even if you don't know who Jesus is yet, there's room for you here to come and to walk in and to be a part. Our family is pretty open to others coming in and just being a part.
That's one of the things that I love the most about the church, the local church, is that family aspect. You know, I think when the church in a local community is functioning the way it's supposed to, it should feel a lot like family. When someone in your family has a need, it doesn't matter if they've ticked you off. It doesn't matter if you disagree with them. If you're in a healthy family, you're still going to help them. You're still there for them. And I think, like I said, when the church is operating the way that it's supposed to, that is what you experience in the church. And, you know, as Pastor Levi said, that's one of the things that we strive for here at Evangel. And our doors are open. I mean, this is the beautiful thing about the family of God. In the family of God, all are welcome. And it's a beautiful picture. When we talk about good news, that's part of one of the parts that make it good, is that it's for all people who are willing to accept the forgiveness offered by Jesus and ask for forgiveness.
Being part of God's family is the greatest blessing that we have offered to us. We can never do anything to deserve that. It's only through God's gift of love and mercy and grace that he shows us kindness through his son Jesus that we get to be called to him to be sons or daughters of the Lord Most High. And that's out of Romans chapter 9. That's the good news that we have for you today. We hope that you would all accept that invitation to be part of God's family. And if you've got questions, or if you're trying to figure that out, come and hang out with us here at Evangel and just check out what it looks like to see God's family.
One other thing is, one of the things that we try to do is we try very hard to help families here. We recognize that we're not the primary ones to cast the Shema to their children, but we are a resource and we like to walk alongside. We have awesome children's ministry. Pastor Travis is the next generation minister, and he does an awesome job. It's this balance between fun and active learning. They'll hear about Jesus, they'll walk through the scriptures just like you will in the adult classes and in the service.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. This was Pearls and Swine, an Evangel Community Church podcast. If you liked what we talked about today or want to hear any of our previous episodes, grab your cell phone that you probably already have in your hand already and search out Evangel Houghton Podcast, and you can find us there. You can also find us at our website, evangelup.org. And thanks for hanging out with us, and we'll catch up with you next week.